Sci-Fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns audio produced podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. If you want to get access to two bonus episodes a week, just go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. And if you don't want to do that, but you want to support us in other ways, just go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on the air. Willie?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you fucking texting already?
No.
Why don't we welcome aboard the SS RLSF Willie's friend from work, Matt Chase. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good, man. How you doing? What's up?
Good.
Matt, how into the world of conspiracies are you?
I'd say about 70%.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting... You're 70% into them?
Into them, you know?
Yeah, we talk aliens all the time at work, and we talk all the stuff that's going on with...
I mean, I basically believe everything, but I don't follow it.
You don't do deep dives like Willie does. You're just kind of like into talking about them and stuff.
Not as deep.
Do you have like a favorite kind of conspiracy theory?
Well, the alien ones, of course. But that's everything. Sure. I believe is mostly on experience than believing.
Oh, interesting. Well, put a pin in that. You are a craft service guy. For those of you outside of Hollywood, that means. Well, you describe it. You're probably better at describing it than I would be.
It's basically you feed the crew, you clean up at the stage, you kind of like the watering hole for everyone to come take a break and blow off a little steam before they go back and do their thing. It's like the mobile snack station. It's like a little 7-Eleven on set. Pretty much got everything you want.
Are you one of those guys that like has one of those fancy trailers and shit?
No. I have worked off those trailers, but I don't own one now.
Those are fucking amazing. I love it when they do that.
Yeah, those are giant. Those are. Yeah,
it's like awesome. Walking into a walk-in fridge. You know.
Yeah.
Like picture the best of both worlds: walking into a walk-in closet and walking into the refrigerator. It's like I'll go in there and look, and then like get one little thing because it's like I'm so used to like looking around. Whenever those are around, like, I'm just going to get an ice cream right now.
Yeah, the thing about those trucks is to fill them up and to have it fully stocked is, like, so expensive. And that's not even counting the carts and the stuff that are on stage, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And then you get background people on it, and it's like, what are you doing here?
Get out of here, you fucking rats. You're a subspecies here on set.
No, I try to treat them nice.
Do you do like yogurt parfaits? Are you one of those guys? You bring out the yogurt parfaits?
Yeah, I've probably made 10,000 parfaits in my day.
About it. Do you have a favorite craft service snack to give out?
No, whatever makes the crew happy, whatever they're into. That, you know, every year it changes.
But it's harder. It's harder now, right? Because everyone's so health conscious.
I've been through the Atkins, the South Beach. I mean, the paleos, I've dealt with all of them.
Where are we at right now?
Everyone's just watching calories, I think.
Yeah. But then also there's so many people that want, like I'm not trash talking anybody, but you know, a lot of people want almond milk, coconut milk, all these expensive drinks, and I'm speaking format, whatever. Sorry. But I always notice it because I always watch everyone. I like to see what people do at craft service, you know, and like, before COVID, it's like there are some people that will like basically fill up their bottle with a whole bottle of milk. It's like,
like, dude, that's what, they like, just take it home?
No. Like they've got it. Yeah, a lot of people have these giant bottles now and they'll like fill it up with like expensive things. And then, yeah, probably take it home too. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine just sipping on some almond milk all day.
What are you going to do?
It's like something a pervert would do.
Money items that go quick. You know what I mean?
Do you guys want to talk some? Do you want to talk some shit about some of your coworkers? Who's the worst coworker that comes up to the craft service table that you're like, fuck?
Not on this job. Everyone's pretty cool on this job.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got to play the politics. I get it.
You know, what's funny, too, though, is that like this job is like where people go to retire. So like there aren't too many people making waves because they're just trying to get their hours in. There's always a group of people talking about how many hours left they have to retire.
Yeah.
They're like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
I'm not even there yet. And like, I'm like I'm not even counting those hours. I can't wait to be there.
That's a thing. You can retire once you hit a certain amount of hours.
60,000 hours, and you could be 62 if you hit 60,000 hours. But I'm only at 20,000 hours. I'm like, man, I was actually texting Todd about that today, and he's like, "You're young, you'll get there." And I'm like, "I'm not gonna fucking get there working 8 hours a day on this show."
Yeah, I know. I don't know. You might 27, maybe.
You what? What? 27?
27,000, I think. I really don't know. I don't follow it yet. It's too early
right?
to
start. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, we have a little quiz just to get you acquainted with the audience. It's called the WOW scale. It stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. And if I don't worry about your score, I'll tabulate it at the end. If you're more on the 0 side of the spectrum, you're more of a Wade. If you're toward a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be weighed on the WOW scale?
All right.
WOW scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Okay, first question is a 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah, I kind of figured. Do you want to elaborate on which kind of aliens do you believe in? Do you believe in like all the weird races that Willie believes in?
I don't know what to believe in. I haven't seen any, so I couldn't tell you how many different kind. I believe there's definitely.
Okay.
You know.
So just the idea of aliens, you're like, they 100% are out there.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Yes.
What's it? Do you have a? I forget. I know you've seen a lot of UFOs. Do you have any close encounters of any kind? I forget.
Well, I saw driving home up in the Angeles Forest. I just come around a bend, and I just took a look up on the hill, and I saw two metallic-looking spheres. So from about an arm's length, they looked about the size of a dime, maybe. And it was just 3 quick glances, and each time they were further and further away. And like by the 4th glance, they were gone. And then a few months later, driving up the backside of the 138 near Wrightwood, there's a little cafe on the top of the hill. And I'm coming up and I saw what I thought was a shooting star. Cause I remember my wife was with me. I was like, babe, check it out. Like, it looked like a shooting star came in. And then this is like not what you would expect to see in a UFO, but it was like a red dot. And then this white giant shape of a ship was probably 35 feet long, and it was about 80 feet above us, just sort of appeared through the darkness, but it was white as an eggshell, and it was like blue lights coming out of the front, and I was driving pretty fast in the dark, so I was telling my wife to keep your eyes on it, and I'm like, what the heck is that? And you're going through like, what, it's not, you know, it's not a blimp, it's not a helicopter, it's not a plane, and then it was low enough to go around the small mountain that's right there, and then I saw it for about 45 seconds.
Wow.
And that was really unexplainable.
Yeah. That's cool. I've never like really seen the shape of a craft. You know, I've only seen
it was
like
hard to explain. Like the shape wasn't like anything you could. It was very kind of like wavy and bent around. I can't even explain what it looked like, you know?
Cool. And your wife saw it too?
Yeah, she was there. She saw it.
Huh. Okay.
And then back when I was younger, like in 1993, it was right after the movie Fire in the Sky. Me and my friends were driving out there. We live near Edwards Air Force Base in the Antelope Valley is where I grew up, and all these kind of things kind of happen. We were driving out there. We're out in the middle of the desert, and we see this light that kind of like caught our eye. So we pulled over to see what it was and what it wasn't. And, you know, like, it's not a light on top of a pole. It's not a plane. It's not a helicopter. It's not a planet. And then it starts moving towards us. And I remember, like, you know, we just saw a Fire in the Sky. We're like, hey, man, we should get in the car. So we all get in the car, like 19 years old, like our head sticking out the window, looking up. And it went right over the top of us, dead silent. And it was the B-2 stealth fighter.
Oh.
You could see the outline, shape, and you could see the U.S. Air Force.
That's so rad.
And that was 93.
Oh, that's very cool.
It's weird because those stealth fighters, if you haven't been around them, like, most people don't know that they're also like so quiet that you can't even hear it until it's above you.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 2. Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes.
Do you have a ghost story?
Yes.
Do you want to tell it real quick?
Sure, I got two actually.
Okay.
I used to work for this company called Dubs Inc. in Hollywood, and we had vaults in the Broadway building and the Taft building, which are right on Hollywood and Vine. And the Broadway building was actually is where Howard Hughes lived. He lived in the penthouse there. So my first story is at the Broadway building. I'm working in the back. My best friend's working up front with this girl, Marianne. And I hear them screaming, right? So I start running down, you know, the vault is like a giant library, just videotapes, old movies and stuff and shows and stuff. And I run down there and I go, and then I hear Miguel screaming. I go down, I'm like, what's going on? I'm thinking like a homeless guy walked up in the street or whatever. It's the 90s. And Miguel's like, I'm screaming because she's screaming. And she's like, I saw the old man. He was standing behind Miguel, right? Later on, walking down the racks, and I see a figure of a man reaching for a tape. And I'm like, who's that? And I go back, and nobody was there. And then also over there, I felt tugs on my shirt. But the good story is over at the Taft building, which is across the way, we had the sub-basement there. And they had this cool old elevator that you could hand operate. So it was kind of fun. Like I used to screw around, like take it all the way to the top, put on the brakes, drop it to the bottom. You know, it's like doing the Bugs Bunny thing, you know. So I get down in there and unlock it. And I remember flicking on the lights and it was like, bzzz. I remember going, ooh, spooky. Right? And we're going there. I'm looking for this tape for Disney or whatever. I start hearing like footsteps, like wooden shoes, like footsteps on the floor above me. And I started thinking that was kind of weird because I remember passing like 8 feet of concrete going down the elevator into the sub-basement. I'm like, I shouldn't hear footsteps up there. And then I hear the same footsteps coming from around the corner in the sub-basement where I'm at. So I'm like, kind of poke my head out. I'm like, who's in here? Don't hear nothing. Go back with the tape. Start hearing the footsteps again. I go out there. I'm like, all right, who's in here? The footsteps come right up to me, walk around me. All the hair in the back of my neck stands up, and I freaking make it, you know, beeline for the door. And I'm like, still not quite by then. I'm like, all right, whoever's in here, I'm locking you in. And the footprint sound starts coming towards me, and I locked the door and went back to work. And I was like,
oh, shit, dude.
You guys can go there and freaking get the tape, right? So the next Monday, I'm telling I used to work on the weekends. So the next Monday, I'm telling everybody the story at work, right? And the owner of the company, Vince Lyons, real great guy. It's like, what happened? And I told him the story. And he goes, yeah. He goes, about 30 years before, a lady jumped off the building there. And there was this ground elevator that come out on the street that has one of those bars that lifts up like the metal plates.
Yeah.
And supposedly her body hit that, cut in half, and the bottom half went into the basement, is the story.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah. So those are my two.
Wow, dude. Hearing footsteps like come up to you and go around you, that's fucking nuts.
Yeah, that freaked me out. You know.
Where are you from originally?
I was born in Shawnee Mission, Kansas, but I grew up in North Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Lookalike area.
What did you say? Shawnee Mission? What's that?
Shawnee Mission.
Oh, Shawnee Mission. Okay.
Yeah. Were you raised religious at all?
Nah. We called ourselves Lutheran, but I don't remember ever really going to church.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Question number three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
I almost gave up on that, but then I saw a really good documentary that brought me back in.
Which one?
I think it was the Discovering Bigfoot, where the guy had video footage and like you could see the thing blinking and stuff.
Oh wait, that's the one where the Todd Standing guy, where he's deep in the Canada forest.
Yeah.
I feel like he definitely faked that footage in the end, because that somebody like took that Bigfoot and put it on his face and like mapped his, like, look, the eyes, everything's like the same exactly as his face.
Okay, I didn't see that.
But the whole documentary is amazing. And then he fakes something in the end. It's like, fuck, dude. Like him recreating the battle that he had in the snow was really fucking amazing. And he's like, look, I'm standing next to this tree. This thing was at least 10 feet tall.
Yeah. I just thought when I saw the thing blank, I was thinking about like it being done by a makeup artist. And in order to do that, you'd have to be really good.
Well, that's how I feel too. Like, even though they put it up to his face and like, look, it's fake, they've got two widely different footage in that documentary. I'm just like, man, it'd be hard to do well with a medium budget.
Yeah. And if you're that good, you'd probably brag about it and someone wouldn't know about it.
Right. He just put makeup on.
Maybe that was just his reel for a makeup job.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Question number four. Do you believe in psychics?
To an extent.
Have you been to
I think everybody has more than the five senses, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe some people are more in tune than others, but like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, like everybody kind of has like empathic abilities to a certain degree.
Gut feelings, all those certain things, that's all, you know, part of it.
Have you ever been to a psychic?
No.
All right. Well, that's too bad. You got to go to one and then tell us how full of shit they were.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen the BS artists where they're just like, I hear somebody with a, you know, name starts with an R or a W or B.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, like the cold read. Yeah,
that was the most popular name, you know, 100 years ago. You know?
Wait, grandma has an R in it. I think that's me.
Yeah.
All right, last question. Question number five. Are you superstitious?
I have been, but not really. Like like the stupid stuff like gambling, you know? I have a stupid one, like, don't touch my back when I'm gambling. I don't know where.
Don't touch your back?
Yeah, don't put your hand in the middle of my back. I don't know.
Wait, you or someone else?
My friend told me that, and then it stuck with me.
I've done that to people when you go up and you're like, hey, we're headed over to the craps table. So I just jinxed them?
Possibly. Stole their luck. Broke the friggin'.
Fuck.
I know when you're in Vegas and you're with buddies, you have to be like, hey, do you have any weird things? You know, because
yeah,
I'm going to fuck them all up.
No, I wish I knew.
All right. Well, you are, I mean, you're a straight up five, basically. You're a 100% Willy. So congratulations. You're as crazy as they come.
Yeah.
Willy, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, remote viewing, astral projection. Our guest Matt has some astral projection stories. Can we take our minds to other places? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Okay, so I'm imagining we're doing this because you have some, Matt, you have some kind of experience with remote viewing.
I don't know if it's remote viewing or it's astral projection, whatever you want to call it. I think it's all kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that's my question. Is there a difference, Willie? And do we need to define that, or should we just use the blanket term?
Yeah, right. I'll just do a quick thing because they are kind of all the same. You know, one idea of remote viewing is that you can metaphysically travel to other places and see what's going on. One idea is that you're actually tapping into someone else's consciousness and you can see what they see. And then one idea is that maybe after hearing somebody's experience later, you're actually tapping into the future version of yourself. So like by hearing the information, like you then can tap into the past and present of yourself. Is one idea there, and then astral projection is that just the first one where you are, your mind is going somewhere, and you can pay attention to your surroundings, and in some cases physically interact. Your energy can actually physically interact also, but everyone's on such different levels. Every story is so different that, and I'll say this real quick. You know, I think it was the Army. 1978, they started researching this stuff. They were throwing money at it. And this lasted until 1995. In 1995, the CIA took over the project, which was the biggest. It had multiple names, but the biggest name that they put on it was Project Stargate. The CIA in 95 said, oh, this is worthless. You know, like we need to stop funding this. And it's funny because here they go. They've been doing it for 20 years. Then they come in and say, nothing's working. Then they release all these files. And to me, in this realm of secrecy, most of this happened after the, you know, concurrent with the Cold War of like, oh, shit, like they're working on psychic enemies, psychic spies, like they're trying to crack our bases and see where things are. And a lot, some of it too was also misinformation to like fuck with the other people in the Cold War, you know? So from everything I've seen, I believe that it's possible to do all these things and that they were actually successful enough to do this for 20 years. And then when they finally said it was worthless, I think it's because they actually cracked a different code and they're just trying to make everyone think that it's even more worthless than, and that code is the alien code. So yeah.
Right. Well, let's digress. Let's digress back to Matt, tell us about your remote viewing or astral projection stories.
Well, the first time it happened, and this is before I even like knew what any of this stuff was called. It was just kind of, I was hanging out at, I was probably young, 19, 20 years old, hanging out at a friend's like party house. It was like her spot just after high school where there's no parents and we got to do whatever we wanted. And there was like, you know, people drew on the walls and wrote stuff on the ceilings and all sorts of stuff. Anyways, back then I didn't have good vision. I hadn't been to the eye doctor yet. So I had a problem seeing things from far away. And I can remember sitting there on the couch, just trying to staring at something that was written on the ceiling and not being able to see it. And then next thing I kind of realized is I'm like this far from it and I'm reading it. Like almost like I stood up on something to see this. And as soon as I realized that, I felt like I was being pulled back into my body. And then my body kind of reacted. It was real funny because my friends were like, what the fuck? But my hands were like my hands and my legs kind of like had a physical reaction. It was like, what the hell? Like, you know, it was all funny. And I didn't really tell anybody what happened at that point because I didn't know. And then a few years later, I was dating this girl and I was like kind of in a meditative state and I left my body and I could see my body. And then the next thing I know, I was like, because I was thinking about her. So like I stood up, I could see my body. And then next thing I know, I was like at the driveway, was down the street, further down the street. Next thing I know, I'm in front of her house and her driveway. And then I'm in her room and I'm like literally standing in the corner of her room and I could see her. And like she was crying or she was upset or something like that. And then as quick as it happened, it kind of went in reverse. And then I was back and I was like, oh, wow. That's like, kind of thought I was daydreaming, you know? It's kind of what I felt like. And then but I had to ask the next day. I was like, hey, this is going to sound weird, but last night, were you crying in the bedroom? And she goes, yeah. She goes, how'd you know? I said, well, I kind of told her what happened. And she was familiar with astral projection. She goes, oh, that you astral projected. That's what happened. And then she says, next time it happens, look around and see if you could see anybody else. So sometime later, I kind of felt myself in that same situation where I wasn't dreaming, but I wasn't awake. And I felt myself out there. And I remember I would look around and every once in a while I would see like a full figure of somebody who kind of would acknowledge my awareness, you know, like I look with a hello. And then I noticed, like, I looked around, it was like being blinded like by a million faces of people that were probably astral projecting, but didn't know that they were there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of a really weird experience.
I remember you saying that, and that was the craziest thing to me, to be like, well, the idea that people don't know that they're doing it. When it's happening, you're just noticing what's in front of you. So, yeah, I mean, like, if you're ever in that situation, like, fucking turn around. That's the weird part, is to notice who notices you, right? That's
the scariest part. Why would you turn around? That sounds like the scariest part. Like, at least if you're just doing it, you can like be more in tune with your girlfriend. But like, then you look around and there's like the ghost of Christmas present there. Just like,
right?
That's fucking creepy as shit.
To think about everyone doing it and not knowing, you know, everyone is everyone. There's so many people. Let's just, on that concept, there's so many people doing it, but they're only seeing what that one little thing they want to see, but they're all there. Holy fuck. That's nuts.
And then I had this other experience and it kind of scared the crap out of me. It was like a thought experiment. Like, I don't know, I must've heard about it from someone on a show or something with Einstein, where he thought about himself, like riding on the front of a photon and experiencing that.
Well, that was really a dream. He wasn't even thinking about it. But anyways, go on. Okay. Yeah. When he came up with the theory of general relativity, by riding on a photon of light. And it wasn't a thought, it was a dream. So go on.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a thought experiment. But so I was having this idea, like thinking about the human thought and riding on the front of like the electronic pulse that would be a thought. And I started thinking about like the brain and wrinkles and all this stuff and thoughts and everything kind of split it off. And then it was like almost like the beginning of like the universal credits where like, you know, it hits the edge of the earth. It's like that fire, like over the top of the mind. And I kind of felt like this feeling I was getting like sucked down into myself. And I was able to, it was really like kind of a terrifying, oh shoot, hold on a second, guys.
All of his lights just went out.
Is it a motion sensor light or is he having a power outage?
Right? I'm going like, well, his computer didn't turn off. That's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. You just got to jump around.
But while like this fire lit, was like I had this complete understanding of everything and then this feeling of being sucked into something. And I was able to pull myself out of this meditation and like literally scared the crap out of me for like years. So I never really wanted to go do any of that stuff after
that. So you were just kind of doing, were you just meditating like regularly at that time or something?
Yeah, pretty much, you know.
And then these things would just kind of happen. So you were trying
to do it.
Huh. And that last one scared you so much that you don't meditate anymore?
No. Now I do. But like for, you know, for like the rest of my life, like from probably age 22 to like 30, I just like didn't want to do that meditation where I'm thinking about like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll continue talking to Matt Chase about astral projection, I guess. I don't know. Can we just say astral projection or?
Yeah. Right. I mean, like,
I don't know. You tell me. Astral projection, I mean, or the other one. I don't know.
I don't know how you get there, but the way you're projecting your mind there, you know.
Yeah.
I'll astral project to later or to earlier and give myself the answer.
All right.
So, yeah, we'll be back real quick. Talking about astral projection.
But if you're giving yourself the answer, that's not astral projection. That's cognitive connection. I don't know.
Isn't that just memory?
I think it's just cheating, right?
Future memory.
Willy Bad Movies presents The Time Traveler.
Hey, mister, are you from the future?
Yeah, I got a lot of things to let you guys in on. The information that I have could save you all if you'd only listen. I've been here before.
This isn't his first time here.
I've been here before.
And it won't be his last.
You never listen. You never listen to me. I'm trying to save you, dumbass.
Grandpa from the future.
Whose grandpa are you?
I'm everybody's grandpa.
Grandpa from the future. This is not his first time. Grandpa from the future.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We are talking to our friend Matt Chase about astral projection. What's the other? I can't remember the other.
Remote viewing.
Remote viewing. Sorry. Willie, take it away.
So I don't think we can even say really remote viewing for you, because in your experiences, you were astral projecting, like you were there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be hard, at least because when I was young, like, when I was younger, I'd have all these experiences and I just think I was a little crazy or I had a very overactive imagination. For me, like remote viewing would be like, I wouldn't be sure if it's just my imagination or if it's actually remote viewing. Like I've had this idea where I thought about, like, I was driving my car and a bird flew by and I kind of thought about what it'd be like to look through a bird's eye. And all of a sudden I'm seeing the terrain am I imagining that, or am I actually seeing what the birds sing? You know,
right?
I mean,
like, and so that's the crazy thing that I want to get into for a second is that, like, for anybody who has this experience or this ability or whatever, it's kind of like in a rational scientific society. Not that we're in that.
I mean, you're kind of stunned if you're like doing studies on these kind of things. Like, even just until recently, if you even talked about aliens, you're like, oh, you're a nut job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can kind of calm yourself down enough to not believe it. And so you tell even that last thing you just said, where like you imagine jumping into a bird's eye and then you did, like I know that our minds are powerful enough to maybe experience that without actually doing it. But if you did do it, there's nothing in your life that would like support the fact that you did do that. Nobody would be like, yeah, that's what you did. Like, you could look stuff up. There's no information, you know? So like, that's always been the crazy thing for me is that, like, if any of this is real, you'd have to be crazy enough to believe in your experience because nobody else does.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, you have all slightly these different kind of experiences.
Well, my question is, when you're flying as a bird, but you're driving a car, how are you driving the car?
Multitasking. You ever been on autopilot where you're just like, whoa, I got
for
home.
For sure. Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Oh man. That would freak me out though. If I was driving a car,
it was like a split second. It's not like I'm,
when you came out of it, did you shake the wheel real hard and go, when you fell back onto the couch?
You had a thought in your head, you know? Just another thought in your head. I was going off a cliff. Oh, shit. I'm flying.
Maybe you did go off a cliff and that's what you were seeing is just, you thought it was the bird's eye view, but you're actually plummeting to your death. And now we're just all ghosts.
Yeah, that was a pair. Yeah, that.
No.
Ah! your hell is like everyone convincing you that nothing happened.
Yeah. Yeah, you're still alive and bills still matter.
I know this has nothing to do with nothing, but one of the worst things I ever saw on Facebook was somebody's like, wake up, you're in a coma, we're trying to get to you. I'm like, I was like, that's horrible.
Oh, that's one of the best things ever. That's the best use of Facebook ever, psychological warfare.
You're just trolling anybody who thinks. We interviewed a girl one time about she was psychologically helping alien people who've been abducted by aliens. And one of the craziest things that she said to me that I'd never heard before was like, yeah, some people get abducted, while they're just driving and they get put back into their seat. And I know this is a totally different thing, but it just made me think of the parallel of like, well, anything in this realm, astral projection, remote viewing, sure, alien abductions, whatever, the time, anything to do with time is weird because as soon as you leave your body, there is no time, I think.
I agree with that.
And so like an eternity could be a second. And that, like to anybody who was messing with any mind control stuff or even this, most of the stuff is the idea that the men who stare at goats came from, that these secret projects where they're trying to get people to remote view or astral project, they definitely delved into LSD and DMT because for some people it really opened them up to be able to do it better. So when I think of LSD or DMT stories, you know, we're like, the crazy thing that I've heard is like, there are people who have done DMT that is like, where they come out and they'd be like, it felt like I was gone for months and it was like minutes. And like, that's the, when there's no time and you can observe everything. And so like, anytime somebody does astral project, like it.
Mm-hmm. I used to measure time by how many cigarettes I had left.
I used to measure distance by cigarettes. So I'll be like, how far away is that 7-Eleven? It's like a cigarette and a half. Going back to the time thing, even when you're dreaming, which is just a function of your brain, although Willie would have other ideas what it is. Like, you know, last night I went on an escape room adventure and it lasted like 2 days. But obviously it didn't take 2 days. So, like, if these astral projections are real, why would that slow down time? Because wouldn't that be in real time where you're seeing...
I think it's outside of time and space. You know what I mean? Because that's a third dimensional thing. You know what I mean? This is outside of the...
Well, one interesting thing that I saw with... So with a lot of a few people have come forward as whistleblowers talking about their experiences working for the government doing remote viewing and astral projecting. And they, you know, they say that their success rate is about 20%. Like, yeah, it's pretty good. And so I could see the CIA being like, well, we've spent money on the 80% that wasn't right. You know, where it's like we're sending people over here and to look for this warhead that wasn't there that you guys could see. And so within these stories that I've been looking at, one of the craziest things is some of them, they could astral project or remote view things that didn't happen yet. And so, like, one of them, and I listen, it's so weird. I take all these notes.
Is this the fucking, hang on. Is this Obama on Mars? Are you about
to
fucking say Obama on Mars?
No. I don't want to bring that up because, you know, it's too out there, even though it's in the same realm.
That whole thing about, like, oh, yeah, it hasn't happened yet. Doesn't that just sound like bullshit? Like, oh, no, it worked. It just hasn't happened yet.
Well, no. The stories that I'm particularly talking about happened.
This is like QAnon going like, no, like Trump will be president.
No.
In my day-to-day routine, I kind of, like, especially if I'm having a very busy day and everything's got to line up perfectly for it to go off right, in the morning I can literally call and meditate, but just, like, plan out my day in my head and literally have it line up exactly like that. Is that
I mean, that's like a big kind of so yeah, like
manifesting. I don't know what it's, you know,
I don't know. Yes, maybe it's called manifesting. Like, we talk a lot about, like, the power of positive thinking and stuff like that, and, like, visualization is a huge sports thing, you know. Like, Phil Jackson was famously, like, very zen about, like, what he would tell his basketball players to do, and a lot of it was, like, visualize the perfect game and stuff like that. And I am on board with that stuff, but I don't know how much of that is just, like, calming your heart rate and nerves and, you know, and then you certain, you, like, compartmentalizing your day.
And you got to also think, in this day and age, we're, like, literally bombarded with things all day long, advertisements, signs, you know, like radio wave, whatever, microwaves, just things that distract you. You can't have a clear thought in your head from, you know, most of the day anyways, without something distracting you.
Right.
Right, Will?
Well, yeah. And so, but specifically though, the I'm trying to find the exact story that I'm looking for, but there was one story where.
See, I think Matt just astral projected to my frustration of Willie looking down at his phone and called it to attention so that I wouldn't have to.
Well, you guys jumped off on something that I wasn't talking about. So, like, just saying.
Yeah, welcome,
like,
to the conversation, bro.
No, what you guys? I was talking about something, and you guys left me. I was talking about this one specific situation where somebody, one of these people in this astral projection world, whatever, remote viewing, saw this hostage situation. And they specifically were like, well, somebody's going to get released for medical reasons and they're going to have something wrong with them. And then, you know, they're like, oh, it didn't happen. And then months later, there was a hostage situation and the person was released specifically for everything that they said. And so that was when they started going like, oh, some of these remote viewings are off because they're not remote viewing specifically the current time. And so that was a crazy thing to be like, well, how do you remote view something and say, this is now?
And well, that's also weird to like, because then you're playing with time, right? And then you're saying that everything is destined to happen. And so like, maybe when they viewed it, it happened at a certain time, but like, because of the way time works and free will, that like different things happened, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It wasn't at the same time anymore, but it still happened.
That's what always gets me thrown off too, though, is because the universe, time, the only proof we have time is linear is the fact that things decay, you know? But our perception, we could actually, if we could actually experience time on a different plane or through consciousness or whatever, simultaneously, or like you could tap into different times, you know, that's the mind blowing shit to me.
It's like, think about time and memory. Like when you were a child, remember it was like forever for Christmas to come again. And summers were so long. And you know, I mean, the school year was forever. And now a year, it's like bleep, it's Christmas again, bleep, it's Christmas again, bleep. You know what I mean? And it's because when you're a kid,
I remember sitting in class.
Memories that like, long. When you're older, it's like you have this greater memory, so it just kind of goes fast. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, our perception of time is different, 100%.
I just know, like, since I turned 25, time moves faster, and I don't know how to explain that.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Whose birthday is it?
Oh, it's, you just turned 25, right?
Yeah.
that's the old thing of like the toilet paper roll, it goes faster and faster as you get closer and closer to the core. I guess it's just another reminder that we're just swirling closer and closer to the drain, right? Like we're just dying.
Oh man,
physically.
Oh, physically, okay. Yeah, I mean, who knows what's left? Do you have a belief in the afterlife?
Well, I think that, you know, I believe in, you know, a creator, but I also believe that life is more than just one journey. You know what I mean? Like, he created the whole universe. He'll give you like 70 years to figure it all out. Come on.
Are you thinking reincarnation, or are you thinking a different, like?
Well, I actually believe that we're all kind of connected together as the same being, having different experiences, almost like a, you know, a sensor to a computer system. We're all having different information coming in, but being all part of the same collective.
I was thinking about a parallel of that today, which kind of blew my mind, which was, if you think of the idea of what consciousness is in the universe, there's a being that is aware of itself. And as soon as that happens,
but how's that not us? Like, I don't know.
That is us.
Okay.
As well. We are the living embodiment of the universe.
Right. And so like I was like trying to go like, well, if you had godlike powers and you could create stuff and you're by yourself, what I mean, like, and this is really lame, but like, wouldn't you create a friend? And then like, how do you make a friend better? Well, you got to make people that aren't friends. I mean, that was really lame, but I was just like, trying to think of the core of, like, you know, I personally don't believe in good and evil.
What's that?
I said he's bored and he wants some Jersey Shore. Give me some conflict.
I'm a fucking Jersey Shore stan. Not the original, but the reunions are great.
Do they fight?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, they still have all their old sort of, like, they don't fight as much, but.
I think it's weird to see the party group get old and then like them having fights as like after having kids.
Well, you're seeing it every day, man. Like, we're living it. We used to be the party group.
Yeah, I got to go to bed, guys. So this is real fun. Grab a beer.
I was going to compare it to that giant, like the biggest organism is like a bunch of mushrooms that are together in the Amazon forest or something like that. Right?
I think it's in Washington, actually.
Well, it's changed between mushrooms and the tree. I think the tree's in Washington.
Oh, the tree. Okay, so now it's like a forest.
It's a fun guy.
But that's kind of what you mean. Like we're all mushrooms, but then connected to kind of the same thing.
Like, yeah, I used to have this idea. I used to call it soul soup. Like after you die, you kind of get like thrown back into the pot. Next go around, you kind of come up. It's a little bit of me. It's a little bit of your experience. It's a little bit, you know. It's like, I don't know if you've ever met people in life where you've met them, you're like, man, I really know these people somehow. You know, like you have some sort of connection to them and you can't really explain it. Uh-huh. Not everybody, but just like certain individuals throughout your life. You know, that might have something to do with like you've, you know, known each other or maybe were each other in another life. Who knows, you know? Like, I think with free will and the vastness of the universe and creation, all that stuff, I think that eventually we all have each other's experience to become fully.
Have you ever tried to on yes. purpose go into somebody else's room?
No, not really. I'd be interested to see what happens. Like if I can nail it, like.
Right. That should be a show. Oh, I didn't do the thing.
That sounds like the most boring show ever. It's a guy sitting there. And then he like meditates for a while, and then he wakes up and explains what he was doing.
Well, no,
it could be a good version of that show.
Yeah, yeah. The show survives on it being real. Of like,
yeah.
Like, but
right now I'm having images of like two rectangles and a cat. If that makes any sense to anybody.
Hang on. Like, this is what I'm currently petting. Oh, I gave it away a little bit. So she's on one keyboard. The keyboard for the other box is behind her. They're both rectangles. And then she's a cat. So are you just a fucking psychic?
You know, I had a head injury as a kid.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. About years old, neighbors were watching us, and I remember my brother and his friend were up in the room. They're like probably 13 because he's 7 years older than me. And they were smoking pot at the time. I didn't know it, but I was just being like a little pest running up and like knocking on the door. I'm like, your mom wants you. And then I'd slide down the banister. And after like the 10th time of me doing this, I remember them like waiting at the door and they jumped out and I jumped for the banister and I went over and fell and hit my head on the hardwood floor and like fractured my skull. And I was in the hospital.
Oh, Jesus. Holy and, shit.
Wow.
Like, I remember like waking up, not recognizing my parents, like having amnesia. And then I can remember I had to go to the bathroom and then like taping a bottle, like a giant like gallon bottle to me. And I didn't like that. And then my dad like fighting with the doctor to like, just, you know, let him go to the bathroom. And then I went to the bathroom, peed, came out, and I recognized, I was like, hey, mom, hey, dad, like, what's going on? But I was unconscious for like 8 to 12 hours, and they, you know, they're preparing my parents for me not to be able to walk or talk again.
Fuck, man.
And my mom said I had a bruise on my face, like from like a blood blister from where I hit the ground.
Oh my gosh.
So, did you fall off from height? Like, how did you crack your skull? Did you fall off when it was pretty high?
Yeah. From right from the top.
Yeah. We had a friend who did exactly that. He's also fine.
My brother feels terrible. I always like fuck with him. I'm like, oh, the time you pushed me.
No, the time you were being a little shit. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
I'm still blown away that you saw my cat in two rectangles.
I was actually trying to do Willie's house, which is kind of weird.
Well, you didn't have to say that. Now it's nonsense.
Well, you know, I don't know how this shit works, you know what I mean?
But wait, what are we talking about? Because I wanted to go back to something. Okay, we were talking about the afterlife. Oh, I just had a question about your afterlife theory about how it's kind of reincarnation, but sort of not. Like, what happens when the world ends? Like, is there a finite time? Do you think like that? Like,
if well,
you
go life back to, like, is throughout the universe.
Oh, so we could even do it with like whatever alien life forms are out
there. I don't see there being rules on that.
Well, see, so that's the weird thing to me is that, like, so in that around 1995 is when they also changed the official story of Roswell. The Air Force came out and was like, actually, just so you guys know, we were dropping like dummies from the atmosphere. And it was just like, why did you need to change the story of Roswell? And then this is even more bullshit because the most compelling stories of Roswell are like, yeah, somebody ordered child-sized caskets. And like, you're telling me that you dropped dummies from atmosphere and like, couldn't, that information was top secret. You couldn't release it. I'm like, fuck you. Why are you changing this stuff?
Well, so they're there to record nuclear blasts or something. Why would you need a crash test dummy up there? Right? Like,
yeah. Why? So to me in the 90s, the CIA redid everything and like tried to get rid of a lot of the things. So, I mean, my thing that I'm making up just fun to do is that the reason why they deemed remote viewing and all this stuff as not valuable, there are plenty of stories out there where they actually did find things, and even in the same realm, you know, police hire psychics or whatever. And like I said, I admit that, like, yeah, it'd be hard to like send money into a project when like they're wrong 80% of the time. But what if aliens are real? And one of the things that they could do was communicate contact with aliens. So to me, in the 90s, they redid their whole perspective of aliens. They're like, hey, here's the new story of Roswell. Hey, remote viewing isn't real. You know, all these things that we've been spending millions of dollars on aren't real. And to me, it's like, my story is because it actually is real and we can all actually communicate and remote view and
well, I mean, how many times have you been talking to a friend and they said something, you're like, oh, I was just going to say that. Or have you thought of somebody and have them show up in your life within a day or two or call you or whatever, you know, that stuff's all.
Like the last time that happened to me, I had a compulsion to text this friend of mine and it happened to be his birthday, but I kind of came off like an asshole because I was just like, hey man, what's up, just saying hey. And then later I found out it was his birthday and I was like, oh fuck, it was your birthday.
The universe knows, you don't have to know.
Yeah, I guess next time that happens I'll just say happy birthday and take a shot. See if it works out or not.
You're allowed to do that now. I believe in
past lives. At some point, you were born today.
Just hedge my bets.
So, how do you feel about this stuff, Wade? I know you're the skeptic. Do you feel that people, I mean, based on your own experiences, that there's something more to just the five senses?
This stuff is weird to me because I think perspective is important, and maybe I'm not as empathetic as other people, and so I have a predisposition to not believe in it, you know. But that one psychic who told me I was gonna, this is a, people that listen to the podcast know this, there's a psychic who told me I was gonna break my arm. She also told me I was on my first life. And so maybe that's just it, that I'm not connected to a lot of people because I'm on my first life. I bump against that because I feel like I'm pretty wise. I'm not like a fucking naive moron.
I don't think wise and naive has to do with how many lives you have, because I think there's people who have probably been alive a freaking thousand times that are still fucking boneheads.
They're just morons.
Yeah, right. But I would say, for anybody who knows Wade and they're in this realm of like predicting lifetimes, like I think more people would say he was an old soul that know him.
That was a challenge, Wade. Don't believe
you
him.
Agree with that, Wade?
Well, that's what I went home and I told my mom, like, yeah, she said I was on my first life. And my mom said, I always thought of you as an old soul.
Like, for me, I swear to God, my youngest child is my dad reincarnated. The personality traits are friggin' incredible. I mean,
but that's another thing that I wanted to mention earlier because of something you said and I forgot. Like the whole like DNA learning stuff. Like there is like evidence of like you can like pass down like those traits. I kind of laugh exactly like my dad, and I don't know if that's because I learned it from him or if it's like a DNA thing. And that, so all that being said, like I do kind of believe I'm taking shrooms for the first time in a couple of weeks when I score them, and I'm nervous about it, but like I'm doing it because I do kind of want to believe that like we all are connected, and I want to have that experience of like feeling what that's like, right?
Have you ever hallucinated before on anything?
No, I've never done anything. I've done weed and booze.
Well, it's been years, but for me, like LSD and mushrooms and all the thing, well, what I noticed the effect for me was it opened my eyes to seeing things from everyone's perspective. So it's really hard, like after I had that experience, it was really hard for me to be mad at anybody because I can be like, oh, maybe they're having a bad day, or you know, I'm like, I could see it like from a thousand different point of views.
But that's something I already do. Like I already sort of like put myself in other people's shoes and stuff like that. And so I don't know why I'm doing it. And like, maybe I'll check it out. I'm very nervous.
Don't check it out. It's definitely worth it, Wade. And I don't want to share this story, but I'm guessing I'm going to have to, since we're talking about mushrooms. It's been about 20 years. Recently, I just tried some again after 20 years. I was a little afraid, I'll have to admit, because the last time I did mushrooms, I was about 25 years old, and it was kind of like a science experiment, kind of gone awry. Like me, my brother, my best friend, we each ate 28 grams of mushrooms each. We blend. I don't know if I should tell you the recipe, but kids, don't try this at home. We blended them into a smoothie.
And 28 grams is way, like 1 gram is enough. Isn't 1 gram enough to get
you? Yeah. I would say do 3 grams.
3 grams.
But yeah, one will get you. You'll
one
feel
will
something. One will work. And I didn't start off doing 28 grams. This is like a progression. Like, you know, I did an eighth and then I did a quarter and then I tried a half one time and then I'm like, we're going to try the ounce. And we all did it. And when we went up to Griffith Park, we're going to go to the observatory. I remember walking in the observatory and it was like really intense. A lot of people, I'm like, oh, hallways were echoing. It was like, I need to be out with nature. You know what I mean? And so we're going to like hike to the Hollywood sign. Anyways, I don't even know what happened. Make a long story short, clothes came off. Park rangers showed up. Billy clubs came out. Fought the hog tie the entire time. I didn't even like, I've still been piecing together this night for like 20 years. My brother and best friend, they get stopped on Los Feliz Bridge with freaking rookie cops. Like, fucking show us your hands. So my brother's like, you know, he's got his hands up. My best friend's still tripping. His hands are stuck in his pockets. And they're like, show us your hands. Their hands are all shaking. Show us your hands. And my brother's like, Miguel's like a good kid. He shouldn't be hanging out with me and my brother, right? You know what I mean? Like, I've known him since I've been a year old. He didn't talk to me for 10 years after this night. Some Pete's like, Miguel, you got to show him your hands. And he's like, I can't, man. My hands are stuck. He's like, dude, these guys are going to fucking blow you away. You got to fucking show him your hands. And somehow Miguel freaking puts his hands up. And Pete's like, all right, guys, here's what happened. We're trespassers. We got a little too high in the park. We're sorry. We're okay now. Write us our tickets. We'll be on our way. And they're like, Johnny Cochran, huh? So they like dug up an old warrant on my brother, took him to jail, left poor Miguel on the bridge tripping by himself. He'd like to take a bus home. I got a hospital ride to Hollywood Presbyterian Church, not church, hospital. And I remember waking up and not really knowing exactly what happened. And I remember seeing like the cops went by and I'm like, oh boy, I'm in trouble. And they had me in restraints and like a catheter, like the whole nine yards. I'm not trying to scare you away from doing this. Definitely you should do it.
I was going
to
say, this is the story you tell after I...
No. This is 28 grams. This is what not to do.
Okay. Yeah. An amazing amount. Like one gram will work. You did 28.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I didn't do it for 25 years after. So I wake up and the security guards are like, I'm like, hey guys, they had one of the restraints really tight. I'm like, hey guys, can you loosen this up? And they're like, you trying to trick us, man? It was like six really big guys. And I said, no, man, it's really tight. Can you loosen? Like, you trying to trick me? I'm like, man, I don't even know what happened. And they asked me what happened. I just kind of stuck with the story that I was at a bar and somebody put something in my drink. Shit got weird and I woke up here. That's kind of like the story I stuck with. And then
wait, that's a good story to have in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Choosing anything. Yeah. Yeah.
So then they sent like the social worker down, this nice like Filipino lady. And she's like, why are you doing yourself? I'm like, I'm not. Somebody put something in my drink. And then
why are you doing this yourself?
Yeah. So I'm like naked in restraints with a catheter in me. And I get the feeling this lady's like wants to set me up with her daughter. And I'm like, she's like, my daughter really like you. And I'm like, lady, if I look good, her current boyfriend's gotta be a real shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I got a taxi voucher. They cut me loose. They didn't hold me for the 72 hours. I got a taxi voucher ride home. I had my wallet, my keys, everything. Went to work the next morning at 6 o'clock, like beat to crap. Limping, like, yeah.
What happened to your brother? Did he?
He went to jail for 7 days.
Oh God.
Yeah, and he also hasn't done mushrooms since, and neither has my best friend. But that being said, without going crazy and doing stupid shit like that, every time before it's been a beautiful friggin' experience. I mean, like,
yeah, I need to plan out how we're going to do it because I don't.
Where are you going
to
be?
I'm scared. I don't know. That's what I need to plan out. Like, okay,
off, there's nothing to be afraid of. Second,
and I would say be outside.
You should go to a state park beach or because nobody wants to be there because you have to pay extra to be there.
Yeah, but then it's like a whole fucking overnight trip or whatever. Like,
it's going to be an overnight trip for sure.
I mean, my friend told me it was a couple hours.
What? He told me a couple hours.
6 to 8 hours, maybe 12 if it's good.
Oh, God.
It's a thing. I would say go camping, enjoy the stars, enjoy the nature. Do it about 2-3 in the afternoon so you can catch a little bit of sunlight and the colors from the flowers and that kind of stuff.
If your friend's telling you 2 hours, they probably do it a lot and they do a little amount and like the intensity is 2 hours, but like the great effects can last 6 hours of just like
peak. Yeah, the peak will probably last like 3, but you're gonna feel the effects and see this stuff. Like the last time, like I said, I hadn't done it in 20 years. I finally got up the courage, because you know what's funny, the whole thing I was afraid of is that I was going to end up naked.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I started off naked this time. And I was like, no. Just kidding, that didn't happen. But what did happen was the camping place we decided to go to is way out in the middle of nowhere. It's called Saddleback Butte. It's like in the middle of nowhere. And just so happens that was what was posted up there was the DEA, the National Guard, and the sheriffs. They're doing a sweep of the drug cartels that are growing weed out in the desert. And these like huge grows. So they literally like knocked down like 70 grows out there that day. And they're posted up about 200 yards from where we decided to do mushrooms. But they didn't come mess with us or nothing. So it was all good.
These are you.
So, I don't know. Like, so like last week when we did the show, I was microdosing. I didn't really feel it, but the previous time I microdosed before, I felt it for like a good hour. What?
Yeah. I've been more of a macro doser.
Right. I know. Like if you listen to Terrence McKenna, like he says
28 grams. I think it's like a what's beyond macro.
Mega, super, I don't know.
Well,
like but planet dose.
But being in nature is the key. Being in nature, having water, and then also like, you know, this is an old stupid thing, but like having orange juice too, because when you start to come down, if you drink orange juice, it'll like just like awaken it back up. And you want that when it's going.
Don't be afraid to throw up. I'll be serious.
You know what I'm most afraid of? I'm most afraid of like having the shit.
Yeah,
I've heard that it will give people like some stomach problems.
Nah, yeah. you probably throw up first. Taking a shit on hallucinating is always a weird thing. And it always seems to happen to me. It sucks. Like you're like in a porta potty out in the woods. You're like, this.
I always imagine that I'm actually dreaming and then I'm going to shit my pants and wake up shitting my pants, you know?
Yeah. So
like, I'd be like, am I here? Is this real? Am I in the bathroom?
Oh, dude, you guys, you're giving me so much anxiety.
I'm sorry.
No, dude, just here. Don't try to fart. Sit down.
But I mean, also, that's kind of my motto for life anyway, is don't try to fart.
Well, hey, wait, I'll do it with you first. You're a pretty good, like, guru.
Yeah, maybe. I got to talk to my buddy. My buddy's doing it for the first time, too, and we're trying to, like, see what the fuck we're going to do.
Okay, so here's a quick option, Kay. A quick option is go to, and like, you know, in California, a lot of the parks close at sunset. And so that's why like the beach is actually okay because you can be at the beach all night and you're not going to get kicked out of the beach. You don't have to go to the state park.
I hate the beach though. I hate the sand and shit.
Yeah.
I would say you get like, you know, out there in Joshua Tree or something like that. You know what I mean?
But you're going to just be in town. So, like, what are the in-town options, right?
Maybe not after this. After this, I'm like, fuck, maybe we need to just get a B&B or a Airbnb, like, up in Joshua Tree or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I would say camping would be a good one. But if you're going to stay at your house, make sure you, like, have all the fun stuff. Get a strobe light, some fucking glow sticks.
Dude, like I want to suggest a couple songs to try out.
Your music sucks. I don't like your taste in music.
No. What are you talking about? What?
Kill yourself. That's what would be going through my head during all of your
my like drug music is like, I think it's cream of the crop.
Yeah, but you're like an EDM guy. Like you're like a fucking like rave kid.
Yeah.
I'm not into that. I'm into Cat Stevens and shit, man. Like,
oh yeah, you're right. But dimensionally though, it might get you. Anyways, go. What are you saying, Matt?
A whole lot of love, Led Zeppelin, when it goes into that little like weird part of the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one always kind of gets you. And then for me, Griffin was Ministry.
Oh man.
Ministry. Isn't Ministry aggressive?
I don't know, dude. But there's one song that anytime, even afterwards, that would come on, I would trip a little bit. I'd be like,
Ministry got like this weird heavy metal name, and like they have some really creative like sound. Experimental tracks. Yeah, yeah. Early Ministry. Yeah, like fuck. All man. Right.
All right. Well, listen, it's weeks.
Well, that's away. What we got to do. We got to have, we got to create the drug playlist, right? Like what specifically, what drug specifically? I mean, like there are some people that will never like EDM no matter what drug they're on. And I get that.
I had a friend that had this garbage. Tape called The Orbs.
What? That's the band or?
I don't even know. I got to find it. But it was like very, it was like industrial sounds and just kind of like weird, trippy music. But it was like 2 hours long. It was a good like little close your eyes and trip out.
I already want to throw up.
Wait, what do you? What
makes me want
to
throw up?
Were you trying to say the name of the group?
It's called the Orb. I don't think it was a group. It was just the sound was called the Orbs.
It was a tape called the Orbs. It's like something from before the digital era, like a thing that you could never track down.
But one of the first, like really like electronic artists that I was into was called The Orb. And they made the song. You probably heard this from ravers back in the day, but the song that goes, there's a girl talking about the clouds in Arizona, little fluffy clouds.
Really, we don't all share life. I have never hung out with a fucking raver.
Well, you're telling me about the Orb, some old music. I'm like, the Orb was like a huge like influence for all of the 90s of like.
Gotcha.
Like.
All right. Well, we should wrap it up. We kind of veered off of. It's all thematic. Like the universe, where it's all connected, right? Like this topic, it evolved from quantum realm fucking.
Well, trying to have doing mushrooms is like accepting that you're gonna have an experience that is. Not a day-to-day part of
unveiled.
What's that?
Wait, say it again.
The 3D reality that you experience every day is gonna. The veil is gonna be open.
See, that's what I want. I want that shit.
That's gonna happen for you.
All right.
And don't let my experiences deter you in any way, because, like I said, I was young and I fucking did too much. You know what I mean? I have an older brother who's like, more is better. More is better, and. He definitely influenced me on that guy.
I mean, that's probably true with LSD. Mushrooms, man, you should stick on the lower side. But
did you just say mushrooms?
He did, like, and when he was in Hawaii, I don't know if I should tell the story, but anyways, when he was in Hawaii, he did 10 hits of LSD, did 10 more hits of LSD, and then did 10 more hits of LSD. So that's the guy who is my mentor. You know what I mean? It's like.
And today he's a lawyer?
Yeah, he's actually running for a state. Oh, no. He's also a craft service person.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for being here. We're going to continue the conversation on our bonus episode. Do you want to stick around for that?
Yeah, why not? Sounds fun.
Okay, great. So thanks for listening, everyone. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi if you want to keep listening. I imagine we'll just keep talking about fucking hallucinogens and how the world works. But who knows? Who knows what you're going to get? Willie, do you have any kind of plugs or anything?
If you have a kid that has a YouTube account, go look up Googie, Googy. Subscribe to that. Eventually, I'm going to get that going.
Matt, you're doing magic tricks with your cigarette. Do you want to throw out your socials, or are you into any of that stuff?
My socials?
Social security number.
Yeah.
No, I don't do none of that stuff. I'm kind of, I don't know. I barely knew how to get on this Zoom tonight.
Okay, well, watch the talk and know that they were all fed by our friend Matt here.
And about that, as a person who's been in the industry for quite a, like, honestly, since I've been 16 years old, this is definitely like the best group of people I've ever worked with. And I'm not just saying that because
they might be listening.
No, honestly.
Yeah, it's a pretty chill group of like people. I mean, like, you know, COVID really ripped us apart because you're the craft service guy, so like everyone talks to you, but like,
yeah, like there's certain departments that may not talk to each other, but they all talk to me, so I know everybody. And there's people who may not know each other, which is kind of weird for me. Like,
I know, right?
Everybody knows everybody. Like, oh shit.
Okay, before we go, well, your light turned off. Go turn that light on. I don't know if I'm on speaker or I'm probably on speaker.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, so before we go, I just want to know, I'm a huge fan of Jerry O'Connell. What is his favorite snack? I know it's only been a couple weeks.
I wouldn't say I know his snack yet, but he is a double espresso guy for sure.
Oh, okay. So he's a tweaker. He's a little coffee tweaker.
He likes to get a little funny. He needs caffeine to get him there. yeah.
He's like the coolest guy we've ever, I mean, the coolest host we've had on the show.
Like,
I'm glad to hear that because I've loved him for so long. It's good to hear that like someone you admire is actually a good person.
Yeah, he's good. And Bob Saget is another one who's just as nice. To make sure he goes around and introduces himself to everybody on set.
And what's Saget's favorite snack?
I don't know that one. I know Willie's is cheese.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Remember, Ellen, thank you, Matt, so much for being here. And remember that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time. Hey, this goes out to Trevor Moore, our friend of the pod. He was on it. He was on our podcast. We have a lot of mutual friends. He was a valuable member of the comedy world out here in LA, and tragically lost his life recently. So I just wanted to say, you know, we're sending our hearts out to, you know, his friends and family.
Yeah. I always thought that we would, you know, go check out, this is so weird to say, go check out everything he's done, because he was a comedic genius, respected and loved by everyone that he's ever met. He did the Trevor Moore Show, which was like a conspiracy show for Comedy Central. Like, I'm not trying to get Comedy Central more money, but like, you know, but he was doing everything in a way that to be funny and to question things and to have a mind that can like put all that together. Just, I always looked up to him and comedy and conspiracies. Shit.
See, I had no idea he was even involved in the conspiracy thing. He was invaluable to the comedy community, and he was so funny, and I really looked up to him. So, you know, rest in peace, Trevor.